Well, good morning. I'm thankful to be here again today. I have some things that I want to share with you. I feel very needy before the Lord. I need His help, and I'd appreciate your prayers. I want to start with a few scriptures. They're familiar scriptures. The first one is Daniel 2 and 44. It says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This is a prophecy of a kingdom that would never be destroyed, would not be left to other people. It would stand forever. Speaking of the kingdom of God, and this prophecy was fulfilled when John the Baptist began preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus preached that same message. His disciples were given that same call. Another scripture is John 18 and 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." The kingdom of God has been misunderstood from the very beginning. The Jews were expecting a literal kingdom with King David in their mind. But the kingdom that Jesus established was a kingdom that was not of this world. It was a spiritual kingdom. "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." I now want to go to Luke 16 and 16. It says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." So from the time that the gospel of the kingdom of God was preached, honest souls that were touched and seeking pressed their way into this spiritual kingdom that was set up, starting with the preaching of John. Now I'm going to look at Matthew 16 and 18. Jesus speaking, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I see the church of God that Jesus built, essentially the same as the kingdom of God that began to be preached with John the Baptist and with Jesus' messages himself, being essentially the same thing. And Jesus said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. It will never be destroyed. It won't be left to other people. It will stand forever. I believe that was true when it was prophesied. It was true when Jesus began his ministry. And it's true today. The church has gone through some dark periods of history. The early morning period of the church, we talked some about that last Sunday, was a glorious time. The truth was preached in all its fullness. Many people were saved, and the gospel was spread widely. But there came a falling away. Paul prophesied that in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And I'm going to repeat a few of the things that fell away. The office of bishop was elevated so that a bishop had authority over some other ministers. That grew to the point that there were five important cities in the Roman Empire that they viewed to be more important than other localities, and the bishops of those five cities were given authority over the bishops in the smaller towns. That grew again to the point that one man, the Pope, was given authority of all of what people saw as Christendom. That condition still exists today in the Catholic Church, a human organization. This is part of the falling away, a human organization. During this time of falling away, the ministry was given a place of as a mediator between God and man. This is similar to what happened under the old covenant with the priesthood. It is the same principle that is alive in the Catholic Church today, the priesthood standing between the people and God. There were many false doctrines that were introduced during this falling away. Purgatory, confession to a priest, and I'm going to mention one that I didn't mention last time. All during the history of the early morning church, they did not use musical instruments in their worship. Musical instruments were not introduced until several hundred years after the church was built by Christ. And remember that that occurred during the 1260 years of dark apostasy. It was part of the falling away. I mention that because I'm going to come to it again later. All right, another quick run through church history. After the early morning period, 1260 years of Catholic apostasy, 350 years of Protestantism, many denominations were formed. There were many divisions, many churches, many creeds, many human organizations. The Lord worked with that system for a time, and honest souls that could see truth were saved, and that's the way it progressed for about 350 years. 1880 began the Evening Light Reformation. I see that as a true fulfillment of biblical prophecy. We read some of the prophecy in the 11th chapter of Revelation last time. And I want to stress the fact that they restored the teachings of the early morning church, the gospel that Jesus taught. Some principal points in the Evening Light message was holiness. John Wesley had brought in an understanding of sanctification and holiness. By the time of 1880, people had begun to grow cold and took on a more worldly attitude, and the doctrine of holiness was suffering, and there was a holiness reformation during the mid-1800s leading up to 1880. But holiness was an important part of the Evening Light message. There was another part, that is the message that Babylon fell. Babylon was the Protestant confusion that kept honest people separated into different groups, different creeds, different organizations. Babylon fell and the call was given to come out. That was an Evening Light message. I also want to say that the evening light truth that was preached stood on the same principle as the early morning church, and in their worship service, they worshiped without musical instruments. And I'm not trying to give the biblical proofs of that doctrine, but I'm stressing it because it is one of the things that fell in the second falling away. I mentioned last Sunday the division that occurred around 1913. Some of the principal things that were being confronted at that time had to do with external things, the wearing of necktie, dress, some of those things, and it caused a separation, a division in 1913. I'll list a few of the things that occurred during this second falling away. Human organization. They began using a pulpit committee to determine who would give the message in their assemblies, even to the point of saying what they would preach about. They formed a ministerial assembly that had much power, a human organization. They began using the title Reverend. Human organization, similar to what occurred during that first falling away, early morning time to the dark apostasy. They moved away from the doctrine of divine healing. Divine healing was an essential part of Christ's ministry. It was an essential part of the ministry that he gave his apostles and the disciples that followed him. It was an important part of the early morning message. It was a significant part of the evening light message. As the majority group that were a part of the original evening light movement, as they began to lean toward the world and accept these changes, they turned away from the interpretation of the book of Revelation, the prophecies that foretold of the evening light reformation. They rejected that. They rejected the vision of what Babylon is and the call to come out, and they began associating with the religious denominational world around them. This all occurred during this second, what I call the second falling away. The distinct change that took place in the great majority of the people that were a part of this Reformation from the beginning. I want to stress the fact that the kingdom of God will never be destroyed. It won't be left to other people. It will stand forever. During the 1260 years of Catholic apostasy, a place was prepared in the wilderness for the sun-clothed woman, the early morning church. She fled to that place and was nourished there, and the church was not destroyed. It survived that 1260 years. During the 350 years of Protestant confusion, there were honest souls that responded to the little truth that they heard, were truly saved, and the church continued during that period of time. Hence, it was necessary when the light came to give the call. Babylon has fallen. come out of her my people. So God had a people there, and the call was given for them to come out. All right. Now I want to change directions a little bit, and I want to talk about the book of Revelation. In the fifth chapter of Revelation, we see a book that was sealed with seven seals. I see that as a book with seven parts or seven chapters. Each one of those chapters had a seal on it. And Christ was the only one that they could find that was empowered to open those seals. And with the opening of those seals, the message that God was wanting to get to the church of God became known. In the sixth chapter of Revelation, there are six seals that are opened. The first two, the white horse rider, the red horse rider, deal with the early morning church and the conflict it had with pagan Rome and their victorious defeat of the pagan religious system. The third and the fourth horsemen deal with the 1260-year period of dark Catholic apostasy. The fifth seal is a view of those that were martyred during those early conflicts between the true Church of God and the Roman pagan era and the 1260 years of Catholic apostasy. The sixth seal brings in a scene of thunders and lightnings, and the evening light interpretation of that sixth seal is that it is political convulsions and wars that would occur during the end times, the times that we're in right now, and would last right up until the final judgment. That is the sixth seal. Now I'd like to turn to the eighth chapter of Revelation. The first verse. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. I want to talk a little bit about this opening of the seventh seal. I'm not going to read all of this. We don't have time. We have limited time this morning. But if we read the rest of this chapter, the principal thing that happened with the opening of the seventh seal was the sounding of the trumpets. There are seven trumpets that are considered in the book of Revelation. And those trumpets begin to sound with the opening of the seventh seal. The first four trumpets describe the barbarian invasions of the Western Roman Empire that were judgments of God upon an empire that had embraced the apostate Catholic Church. Those first four trumpets caused the fall of the Western Roman Empire. And that was prophesied in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. The third verse says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." This is talking about the 1260 years of Catholic apostasy, the man of sin, was this Pope elevated to a place of supreme authority? He opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. They brought in a multitude of false teachings and false doctrines and perverted the early gospel into a man-made religion, church, an apostate church. The seventh verse says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who will now let will let until he be taken out of the way." The mystery of iniquity, the falling away, had already started when Paul wrote this. If you read the letters to the seven churches of Asia, I believe you will find that the majority of them were counseled to repent. There had begun a falling away that required repentance. It says, "He who now letteth," there was a hindrance to allowing this apostate church to reach its full prophesied potential. The power of the Pope that has been described, the hindrance to that was the Western Roman Empire, and it fell. First four trumpets, those wars and invasions that caused the fall of the Western Roman Empire. The fifth trumpet is the 150-year Muslim invasion of the Western Roman Empire. Again, a judgment against a nation that had embraced an apostate church and persecuted the true church of God. 150 years. During that period, they captured all the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, all of North Africa, went up into Spain. The next trumpet, the sixth trumpet, is a symbol of the Ottoman Empire. And the judgment that the fifth trumpet executed on the Western Roman Empire, the sixth trumpet is the Ottoman Empire, which was also Muslim. The judgment that God pronounced on the eastern part of the Roman Empire. What does the seventh trumpet represent? That ushers in the final judgment. And we have a number of songs in our book that talk about the seventh trumpet and its sounding and it ushering in the final judgment. All right. So the seventh seal brings about the sounding of the trumpets, its prophecies of the downfall of the Western Roman Empire, the prophecy of the rise of Islam, and the judgments that the Lord brought through them against the Roman Empire and the false religious systems that existed there. And the last one, the seventh trumpet, ushers in the final judgment. Now I want to talk a little bit about something that occurred around 1930. We've already talked about how the majority portion of the Evening Light Reformation went into compromise, human organization. They left the dress standard. They brought back musical instruments in worship. But 1930 was the year that F.G. Smith was forced out as editor of the Gospel Trumpet paper, and he was a major voice trying to hold to the old standard as the Anderson College and Seminary was pressing in the other direction, and the liberal forces won, and he was forced out. 1928, a man named W.S. Goodnight began reevaluating our interpretation of Revelation. By 1930, he had developed a new doctrine concerning the interpretation of Revelation. We often refer to that as the seventh seal doctrine. I want to talk a little bit about what this seventh seal doctrine consists of. They teach that there is a 100-year period of preliminary judgment that began in 1980. The first 50 years of that preliminary judgment they refer to as the sixth seal. The sixth seal, the Evening Light Saints interpreted that as political convulsions and wars leading up to the end time. They consider it a time of enlightenment. They associate an earthquake to it, and their interpretation of earthquake is a spiritual awakening. The second 50 years of that 100 years of preliminary judgment starts in 1930 and goes to 1980. They consider that a period of great enlightenment, and I'm going to read a direct quotation from the book, The Revelation with Gospel and Prophecy, as revised in 1955 by Lawson, Turnbow, and Rogers. This is a direct quotation. The Lord set his hand under the sixth seal, the first 50 years of the 100 years, to bring out people free from division. Now he is setting his hand a second time in the 100 years under the seventh seal to bring the elect saints on out in understanding into the camp of the few righteous, as the few righteous went into the ark before the flood. The door of his mercy will be closed at the end of the 100 years. Do we understand that? The seventh seal doctrine says that in 1980, the door of his mercy is closed. I believe we've seen his mercy in this meeting. I believe that his mercy is still open and offered to every honest soul. The door of his mercy will be closed at the end of the 100 years, and then will be the final judgment. That seventh seal doctrine. In order to point out some of the differences between seventh seal teaching and the Evening Light teaching that we have known, the Evening Light teaching that I try to teach as I teach on Revelation, the same teaching that D.S. Warner had, W.G. Shell, F.G. Smith. So I want to turn to Revelation 6 and 12. This is the sixth seal. And it says, "And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell from the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. They interpret earthquake, the seventh seal interprets earthquake as a great spiritual lightning, which occurred during the evening light reformation. The light of the early morning gospel was brought back to view with the evening light reformation. That is correct. But in the 13th verse, it says, and the stars of heaven fell from earth, even as fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The seventh seal interpretation of that is that the ministry, including the Church of God, Evening Light Ministry, that refused to accept the new light that was ushered in 1930 concerning the seventh seal, are symbolized by these stars of heaven which fell to the earth. They include the sectarian Protestant ministry and what they call the sixth seal ministry that refused to accept seventh seal doctrine. They fall as stars from heaven. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their place, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks and of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The evening light interpretation of this great day of his wrath is the final judgment day. The destructive forces that are described here, the hail, the earthquakes, referring to the wars and the civil disturbances and the turmoil that is in the world now and will be to the end. But the seventh seal interpretation of this is that the great day of his wrath refers to the 100-year period beginning in 1880, ending in 1980. And the hail that is to come down, they say, is the truth of the gospel, condemning false religion. I have a problem with portraying the gospel message as a destructive element like hail. The term that they apply to the 100 years, 1980, preliminary judgment. I want to deal with that just a little bit. I have a couple of scriptures that came to my mind. John 3 and 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I don't see the Lord in the gospel age approaching us as hailstones and things that are destructive that way, but it is an offering of mercy, an offering of deliverance, a way out of the bondage of sin that we are in. I another scripture that came to my mind is, and if any man hear my words, this is John 12:47, and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But to say that in 1880, a preliminary judgment began, and these hailstones of truth came down on the earth in a destructive manner, I have difficulty with that. I accept the fact that the plan of salvation, the gospel, the door of his mercy is open today. And as the truth is preached and we hear it and we respond to it, people are being saved. And I'm very thankful that that's so. All right. This sixth seal, the end of the sixth seal, is right at the final judgment, the day of his wrath. That is the day that judgment will be brought on all those that rejected the truth and those that were faithful. All right, the next point I want to look at is in Revelation 11. I've already asked you what the seventh trumpet stood for, and the answer is it ushers in the final judgment. And the seventh seal doctrine says that the seventh trumpet began to sound in 1930 when they got new light and understanding. Seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and our Christ, and shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces, and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, and because thou hast taken thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, the wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them that destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake of great hail. Again, we see this as a picture of the final judgment. The seventh seal teaching, this was ushered in 1880 and continues out through 1980. In 1980, the door of his mercy is closed and the judgment follows. Okay, I guess I've used up my time, but I'm thankful that the door of his mercy is not closed. Our meetings are profitable. The way of salvation is open. The gospel is being preached. And the truth is coming down in a way that leads men to repentance.